Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
But we've kept him waiting long enough. He is the head coach of the Newcastle Knights. I don't think we've had him on the show before. Let's welcome him in. Adam O'Brien, welcome to the Sunday Sinbin.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course, mate. Hey, congratulations. I tipped you blokes to win, but I didn't think it'd be by that much.
I'm glad I kept you happy, mate. Look, it was a great performance. I was really pleased with our start to the game, and I thought we defended really well in that back part of the game when, you know, pretty much the game was done, but we still managed to show that resilience that I've been banging on about all year. So, yeah, really pleased that we could do that in front of our home crowd.
Adam, you must also be pleased at the performance of Blake Green coming into the side.
Yeah, Paul, he was the outstanding Green. You know, it was obviously a big week for him. You know, he landed up here, you know, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday, and we had about a 40-minute session with the spine, and, you know, just right from the start, I had a good feel. I know what Greeny's about, having worked with him in Melbourne, but just the way him and Junior and obviously Kaelin and Kurt just sort of connected all week, I was actually a little bit concerned that they'd be a bit footied out, the amount of talking that they did. But anyway, they looked connected on the weekend, and yeah, I'm sure we're going to get better, you know, moving forward.
The performance of Kaelin Ponga, I tell you what, you had a crack at your blokes a couple of weeks ago when they played poorly in the rain there, but he rewarded them yesterday, the Newcastle fans, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, mate. Look, the one thing about Kaelin that I've noticed this year, you know, I always had this perception that you know, he wasn't all about footy, and he's not. He has interests away from the game, but he certainly does put a lot of time into watching tape. I know that he spent some time, you know, looking at Billy Slater and Tedesco, and he's always looking at evolving his game. But yeah, yesterday, certainly before the game, he had a really steely look about him, and you know, I was really pleased for the young bloke. He's, you know, we expect a lot of him, and he produced yesterday.
Adam, what about for yourself personally? It was an interesting week where Paul Crawley on NRL 360 obviously had some comments to make about yourself in the box and how at times you can get a bit fired up, and obviously it's a red-blooded sport, it's an emotional game. And then I was fascinated to see that you actually then did an interview where you clarified with Paul that you have been working really hard behind the scenes at trying to make sure that just you balance all of that out. How did you think you went last night, and tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, look, obviously Paul's comments, you know, I thought they were warranted. I'm not oblivious to my behaviour up there. It's important. I've always, you know, all year I've talked to the guys about taking the emotion out of, you know, their decisions, and I guess, you know, don't let emotion dictate their behaviour, you know, on the field. And when they've got, you know, one of their leaders sitting upstairs doing that, I just thought it was a bit hypocritical. So I was mindful of it before, you know, Paul highlighted it the other night. And I actually work with just a friend that knows me well, and he doesn't work in sport, but, you know, works in a high-pressure environment. And so I always knew that it was an area for me to get better. You know, it's not just about players getting better. We as staff need to continually improve each day. And I knew that that was a blind spot for me. And I guess when it was sort of dragged into the public domain, then, you know, it sort of forces you to look even harder at it. So, look, last night I thought I coached fairly effectively. Look, I'll be a work in progress, but I just got to find the balance there, Hoops. I don't want to just become mute up there because it's not who I am. It's not my nature. And I just got to find that balance where I do have my head and heart in the game, but, you know, I'm not being a raving lunatic at the same time.
I'm actually fascinated by that, Adam, because I see a lot of assistant coaches sit quite calmly next to the head coach. Mm. And then when they get promoted to a head coaching role, they suddenly become the lunatic in the box that they weren't when they were the assistant coach. So what's the change there, and why does it almost have to happen? Because back in the day, coaches used to sit in the grandstand with the fans around them. Then we had to put them in boxes because they started to yell out and carry on a little bit themselves. And it's almost like since they've got in the box, there's like a license there for the head coach to you know, jump up and yell and slam down the headphones and yell into the headphones and abuse the assistants and tell this guy to do that. Why does that change occur?
Mate, it's a really good point. If I knew that, I don't think that I'd be doing it. But just, you know, it is a little bit human nature. I remember when I was an assistant to Brad Arthur in the 20s at Melbourne, it was, you know, 08. I had that in my nature then. And I think working with Craig, you know, the box would not have functioned at all if we were both doing it up there. So he took the rights to doing that. And we had to remain calm because you're the person that's, you know, talking to the pit crew down on the sideline. Mm. So, you know, it's important that we're being really effective with the communication and not rattle the sideline. So, look, sometimes when you're seeing the coach go off, you know, that's not going down to the players directly. It gets filtered by the time it gets out to them. It certainly doesn't go out to them in the vein that it's been expressed in the box. But I think, obviously, the pressure of the job, you know, and you're invested in the game. That's not to say that assistant coaches aren't invested in it, but, yeah, look, it's a pressure thing that I guess experience will help me with as well. And I think, you know, to be brutally honest, Paul, coming from the environments that I have, you know, sometimes you can get used to that success. And I thought that was another blind spot. When I took the job on, I was well aware of what my challenges would be, that, you know, you've sort of come accustomed to this, you know, machine-like environment. Well, I need to create that here. So it's just being mindful and keeping things in check that, you know, what I need to get done.
So when you do that then, like you take on that new environment, it's a self-discipline thing. Like, something you guys are aware of there? That, because the players do see that, don't they? That's what I suppose you're alluding to there, that if you can't control yourself, how can they?
Absolutely. And that's why I did take that feedback from Paul on board, because, you know, if I'm expecting them to control, you know, the pressure situations, then I need to be, you know, an example or a symbol of that. So, look, I'm really upfront with our guys. I'm really honest with them. And usually the blow-ups that you see, sometimes they're not connected to the actual part of the game. They get used a little bit later. But if there's something that I'm completely upset with, you know, and that's usually something to do with, you know, a lack of effort or laziness, it will get shown in the reviews and, you know, and pointed out on, you know, why. It's not a personal thing. I'm just critiquing the action. But, yeah, certainly I need to be better with it.
Benny Eichen was talking during the week about things like that, and he said, you know, and I think it's a valid point, that he said a lot of assistant coaches who work with Craig, and we all seen how Craig can be so, you know, the blow-ups at halftime or the blow-ups in the box and all the rest of it, and the players go out and they respond to it, and a lot of the assistant coaches or even other coaches who look to Craig Bellamy as an example of how to coach, they see all that about Craig and then think, okay, well, I'm going to take that into my coaching. But there's other redeeming characteristics to Craig Bellamy's personality that forces the players to have a great love for him, so which sort of offsets the temper tantrums and all the rest of it. And Eichen was saying, you've got to be careful that if you've got one, you've got to have the other, because that's why Craig's able to have the blow-offs, because he's also got this other side to his personality that endears him to the players. And if you can't have both, then, and all they're seeing is the blow up, then that runs short, you know, runs out pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, the saying that you'll do anything for anyone that you know cares about you is absolutely true. And players are no different in that. So making sure that you look for ways to be the other way, you know, looking for ways to show that you do care about them and that you've got their interests at heart. It's not just about getting stuck into them all the time. But, you know, certainly they understand, the players understand the things that'll get me fired up at the most. And it's not about, you know, skill or talent-based stuff. It's about, you know, letting standard down when I know they're capable. If it's a lack of effort or laziness, that's the stuff that I'm hard on. But certainly by the time I'm down at the box at halftime and that, my messages are really calm and quite clear with the players. But yeah, you're right. It's just getting that right balance. And and that was the other thing highlighted during the week when I really sat back and started to think about it. You know, whilst we're in a really privileged position, you know, they are tough times for the guys. So, you know, just me lumping all this on top of them, and I needed to find, you know, I guess some ways to lighten up and just try and get a little bit of fun. We've had a really tough period now, and I think it's just a little bit of time to relax at times.
It's all things considered, though, it sounds like you're really enjoying your first stint as a head coach.
Oh, look, I love it. I didn't, you know, when I took it on, I didn't know this was going to happen in the world that we're living in at the moment. And certainly the injury, it's thrown up some challenges, no doubt, you know, with, in terms of injuries and, you know, even just staff being put off and outside the bubble. It's certainly a lot of things for a first year to take on board, but I've got really good support, you know, the great coaching staff, you know, with Fernsie and Willie Peters and our development guys and Rory. They've done a great job with our young kids because we've had to have a next man up mentality, but certainly the support from, you know, the West group and Philip Gardner, they've really supported me in the first year and the town's been enormous as well.
Hey, Adam, you just alluded to people losing their jobs in the bubble. What do you think of, you know, arguably one of the greatest coaches breaking it himself when he's supposed to be a leader?
Oh, look, yeah.
Well, no, mate, rip into him, mate. I'm on your side.
Look, as I said before, look, I need to be a living symbol of, you know, what we need to be doing here just from the Knights' perspective. And, you know, I think we all understand pretty much what's required. And you know, I know that we talk to our guys daily about it. And, you know, if someone from the Knights, you know, whether it's a staff member or a player breaks it, it won't be through that lack of knowledge. It'll be, you know, a lack of, thought or care on it. So I'll come down hard on that for sure.
Hey, Adam, but just before you go, mate, you mentioned Ferner and you mentioned Willie Peters. Like every other coach in and around the NRL, we seem to know where they come from, who they played for, where they grew up. But you're a little bit of a mystery in that area. Where'd you kind of grow up? Are you a Sydney boy?
No, I grew up on the South Coast in Batemans Bay.
Right.
I grew up there. My old man had the pub down there for 30 or 40 years. I grew up playing footy. I think it threw me into the underage when I was four. So, I just played footy down the coast and met up with Brad Arthur. He came down to captain coach and spent some time there together. And then we played together again in Cairns in North Queensland. And then went down to the Storm with the 20. So, yeah, a bit of a bush footballer, mate. I'd like to think that I'm on the way to being a better coach than I ever was as a player.
Well, good on you, mate. Look, we wish you all the best with it. You got a good team up there at Newcastle, and congratulations on the win last night. Thanks for giving us your time today.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, mate. Adam O'Brien from the Newcastle Knights joining us.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.